Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Susan Boyce, who is a registered nurse. And of course, we're talking like everybody else in the country about nationalized health care. Right now, it's a week after the election of Scott Brown to the Senate. And many people thought that that was pretty much a nail in the coffin of the Obamacare, at least for now. But it doesn't look like it looks like we might have to be battling this a little bit further.
There's a disturbing strategy, I guess you can say strategy, that
plot.
The plot thickens. That Pelosi and Reid are the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
And the majority leader in the Senate.
Senator Harry Reid, that they can bring this Senate version that already passed, which was Harry Reid's version, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, or H.R. 3595, in case anybody would like to know that information. But they, since it already passed the Senate, they can take that bill and pass it in the House of Representatives with only a simple majority, which is 52 votes.
No, in the House of Representatives.
Oh, right, sorry, yes, in the House. I'm sorry, I'm confused here. So the House can pass the Senate version with no modifications or amendments. I got ahead of myself.
Right. So now, normally, under these circumstances, the House passes a bill, the Senate passes a bill, then they go into conference and they reconcile the bill.
They reconcile their
and
differences.
And then it goes
they
back to
out.
Each of the houses
and
to vote.
They each have to vote it through, and the House has to just passes things on a simple majority. But the Senate needs
usually 60 votes.
Right, 60 votes, because any less than that, then it can go into filibuster and they could basically stop it.
Right.
So 60 is the magic number.
But what you're saying is that by not reconciling the bills and just voting on the Senate bill alone, it could go to President Obama for signature.
And he will sign it into law. He has promised that he's going to do that. Because he
so that's pretty much bypassing the system.
Right. And the problem with that is that the liberal members of Congress who don't like the Senate bill because it's a
doesn't
failure
go far
to
enough,
it doesn't have public options, it doesn't put heavy fines on those who don't get insurance, and it offers no income tax surcharge on the rich. So those are their grievances with the Senate bill, and they they don't like it because of that, and so they can cause problems in the House of Representatives not pass this bill. But the strategy as outlined by Dick Morris in Newsmax, in this Newsmax article that I'm referring to, they were saying that Pelosi can get them, or Speaker Pelosi can get them to pass it with the second part of the plan would be allowing those provisions back in to a version that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid would allow the Senate to vote on with only a simple
majority.
Right.
So they wouldn't need Scott Brown and that would not play. So basically what you're saying is that there's liberals in Congress, the House of Representatives, that do not like the Harry Reid bill because it's not liberal enough.
Right.
And they can be coerced into voting for the bill if they know that these other liberal provisions will then be passed subsequently through various
means. And he promises to do it. Senator Reid agreed to bypass Senate cloture and filibuster rules and claim that the modifications fall under reconciliation. That's how he can prevent a full vote on it and only need a simple majority to pass it.
Obviously, they weren't listening last week.
No, they weren't. But the good news is that there were 23 Democratic representatives in the House of Representatives that voted yes for the House version. Now, people need to realize that the Obamacare version that Speaker Pelosi passed only passed by 5 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So if just a handful of those 23 Democratic congressmen were to change their vote, it could jeopardize, it would stop this. That right. would be the nail right. in the coffin.
Now, and one of the reasons why they, several of the Democrats voted for the bill was that it had the Stupak Amendment, which
right.
would prevent taxpayer dollars going to pay for abortion, where the Senate bill does not have that provision.
Yep.
So just the pro-life votes, those representatives may not vote for the
they
bill.
They might not, right. But it's interesting because, you know, everybody's talking about the fall elections. And so if we want to stop this, if we're serious about seeing, about retaining our freedoms and, you know, stopping the expansion of big government and the expansion of huge taxes,
mm-hmm.
Then we should contact our state representatives to, you know, Congress and tell them that, you know, we don't want this Obamacare. And there's here's an interesting article, a poll that I found in the National Review, and the Yankee Institute for Public Policy found that Connecticut residents oppose the current bills in Congress by a margin of 51-34%. So that's just about a 2-to-1 margin.
Right, right.
So our Connecticut voters, Connecticut, a blue state,
right, right.
You know, they don't want this overreaching yeah. legislation because it is going to lead to increased taxes.
And it's not just that. And I think one of the things that people were keyed in on with the Scott Brown vote last week was that it seems like the Democrats, because they have the House, because they have the Senate, because they have the White House, seem to be not at all concerned about reconciling their differences with Republicans or, you know, conservative Democrats, and that they're doing everything they can to ramrod everything and do
right.
as much as they can to take over every aspect of our lives, from the automobile industry to the banking industry to healthcare, in one fell swoop.
Well, you're talking about different pieces of legislation,
yeah.
but as far as Obamacare goes, and let's explain to people. I know we've done it in past shows, but this is so important that it bears repeating why we should contact our congressmen and tell them not to support this because your constituents don't want this.
Right.
So let's talk about some of those terrible provisions that make it so toxic.
Right. So this is the Harry Reid bill.
This is the Harry Reid bill, right. Its 10-year implemented cost would be $2.5 trillion. Number one.
Money we don't have.
Yeah.
Where are we going to be more in debt to China?
Right. Half a trillion in Medicare cuts per year. And basically, in addition to these permanent cuts to Medicare payment, but to Medicare payment updates, it establishes, listen to this, a permanent board of unelected members that will dictate annual Medicare cuts geared towards reducing Medicare spending. That unelected board, they're referring to the Health and Human Services Secretary, who currently is Kathleen Sebelius. This legislation gives her unprecedented power to dictate what gets cut, what doesn't get cut.
And now, let's stay for a second. Medicare is for our senior citizens.
Right.
Now, in the near future, we're going to have more and more senior citizens
right.
dependent on Medicare.
Right.
And you're cutting it by $500 billion
well,
dollars each
to.
Year. But how are they going to do that?
How are they going to do that? That's where we're talking about rationing. What does rationing mean? It means, you know, giving grandma the pill instead of the expensive
surgery.
Treatment.
Yeah.
You know, give her a pain pill instead of the expensive surgery that she needs to save her life.
This is really, really, really scary. I really hope people listen to this, because in order to make this work, they're
in
going
to
have
stop,
to
oh,
get
yeah.
rid of people that are dependent on Medicare.
Right. And it's not just people dependent on Medicare. It's all across the age spectrum. It could be anybody who's handicapped. The House version of the bill, which is not what we're talking about here, but the House version of the bill had provisions in it to limit care to cancer patients, to limit care to, you know, handicapped. You had to go to the government and get government approval for a wheelchair. I mean, that was in the House version. It was ridiculous. So anybody who thinks that if the Reid version passes, it's not going to directly impact how doctors can practice medicine, the quality of care that we're no used to getting, they're sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Then they talk about the bill costing $500 billion in new taxes. So based on the data from the Joint Committee on Taxation, which is a nonpartisan congressional scorekeeper, the bill would break President Obama's campaign promise by increasing taxes on individuals and families making less than $250,000 a year.
Well, it depends on what day, because he talked about
$150,000, $200,000. There you go. And then what's interesting is this bill will impose a $28 billion in new taxes on employers that do not provide government-approved health plans.
But the reason they don't provide it is because they can't afford it. So
right.
Now you're going to tax them.
And what's going to happen?
They're going to have to lay off people.
Right.
That's why they don't give them their employers.
And what kind of people are going to get laid off? These new taxes will ultimately be paid by the American workers in the form of reduced wages and lost jobs, but the new job-killing taxes will place approximately 5.2 million low-income workers at risk of losing their jobs or having their hours reduced. And another additional 10.2 million workers could see lower wages and reduced benefits. So, you know, there's a price to be paid.
Unless you join a union. That's where they're going to get.
They were talking about some of those provisions that we were discussing that Senator Reid agreed he'd slip by the legislative process and allow only a simple majority to vote into law. That was some of those things, you know, privileged groups. If you're in a privileged group, you'd get extra treatment, but don't count on it. Don't count on it because. This is interesting. I talked about how it empowers this bears repeating, though. I don't think you could say it too many times. It empowers the Secretary of Health and Human Services to decide what benefits are covered. The Secretary shall define the essential health benefits, mandates that all plans must include the essential health benefits.
So that could be abortion.
Yes.
And she could cut whatever she wants and she could include whatever she wants.
And people need to know that abortion funding is mandated in the Senate,
version
that we are talking about, that there is no amendment.
But.
And it also limits catastrophic plans to only those who are age 30 and under or who meet an unaffordability criteria. And it prohibits small businesses from offering catastrophic plans.
Now, catastrophic plan is one that's going to prevent you from losing your house if you get sick. You know, something mm-hmm. that's really, you know, like if you got in a really bad car accident or, you know. So there's placing a premium on people under 30.
Well, basically, yes, they're placing a premium on, you know, they want workers, they want producers.
This is so.
They don't want anybody that's going to take up money or space or time, because money, space, and time are, you know, they're not going to be able to afford it because of the expansion of bureaucracy in this bill. The expansion of government bureaucracy is incredible. You know, so basically, if you love your freedoms as we currently enjoy it, we need to stop this. And a lot of Americans are becoming aware of this toxic.
Our federal government is set up to do one thing, basically, or two things. Basically, to reconcile the states so that they can get along with each other and you know, so commerce can flow freely, mm-hmm. and to protect our borders.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And
And
the states are supposed to dictate
everything else.
Right.
So why is the federal government have it hands
getting into
in
the
everything?
Business of, as you were mentioning? Yeah, it needs to be beaten back if
it
we
really
want
does.
to maintain our liberties as our founding fathers envisioned it, because we're losing them.
Right.
And if this goes through, we definitely
will
lose them.
Not only that, but we're paying to lose them.
Right.
We're paying through the teeth for everything that, you know, all this wasteful spending. And to get these bills passed, they had to promise certain senators that their states would be exempt from it.
Right.
They had all these back room deals with, you know, senator from Louisiana that she's getting
Senator
paid
Landrieu.
tons of money for her state. If she, now come on, this is change.
This is what they're saying.
This is corrupt.
They're telling us this is better.
This is corruption.
They're telling us the expansion of corruption is what Americans want. I don't want that. Do you want that?
No, I do not want that.
We must not be Americans.
And our senator must be the biggest buffoon not to ask for money for our state to vote for it.
Well, I heard that Senator Dodd got some provision for a hospital.
Named after him?
For Connecticut. So he got something for
our
state.
Oh, there we go.
But, you know, so it's important, again, just to recap, that Obamacare is not dead yet. They may take advantage of another stealth, you know, move to get the already approved Senate version passed into law. And once they do that, they can very easily enact changes.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's really, really scary about that, too, is that some, not all, but some senators voted for the Reid bill with the idea that they knew it was going to go into reconciliation and that they would also have a chance to look at it again and vote, you know, yay or nay on the reconciled version. But this takes away their vote, too, because they were duped into I remember hearing them, well, we're going to vote just to let it, you know, go into discussion, you know, go into reconciliation. And that's not what's happening, apparently.
No, because they're just going to take the Reid bill and pass it through into law. Basically, they're going to tell everybody, shut up about any problems you have with it.
Right.
Let's just get it into law, because once we get it into law, then it's, you know, we could tweak it and make it more toxic.
Right. Make it even worse than it already is.
Give more money to our special interest groups.
Right. Yeah,
hold out. Put that back in there.
Hold out for your state,
right.
You know, so that by the time it'll be a $14 trillion bill.
But, in the meantime, it's by that point, if it's allowed to go through, if we don't tell our Democratic congressmen that we don't want this and make our message clear, mm-hmm. that, you know, it will be too late, because they'll have, I mean, the House version, not the Senate, but the House version had direct access to our bank accounts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it has rationing in it. It has abortion funding. It gives unprecedented power to the Health and Human Services Secretary. It's expanding bureaucracy. It's limiting the quality of our health care. It's telling doctors, you know, how to practice, and medical professionals how to practice. There's no conscience cause protections.
Right.
It doesn't go far enough to offer health care to the very people that they say they're supposed to be giving it to.
Yeah, and this is the attitude, because I'm from Massachusetts, and during the recent Senate race, the woman who was running against Scott Brown, Martha Coakley, was interviewed on the radio about the conscience clause. So Scott Brown said, you know, basically he takes the position that if a Catholic hospital is a Catholic hospital, they don't have to offer the morning after pill to a woman who's been raped. And she just thought that was appalling.
Yep.
And somebody questioned her about that and said, well, what about somebody who's Catholic? I mean, do you think that they should have to? Well, maybe, she said, well, maybe they shouldn't be working in the emergency room.
Ugh. Yeah,
Catholics need not apply.
So there's going to be an erosion of religious freedoms. They're going to take away your property by increasing your taxes. They're going to tell you how to live by dictating what you can and can't do. You know, smoking, alcohol,
don't be fat.
Consumption, don't be
no
fat.
McDonald's.
No McDonald's. Do we really want our government to do this for us? Do
no.
we really think that that's going to
this
make
is so
our
Orwellian.
Whole situation better? You're
yeah.
right, it's just not going to do that. And the more people read the legislation, the more they realize it stinks,
yeah.
and the more people become aware of that, and that's how Scott Brown got
yeah.
in. And there is such an outrage. They didn't care that there was a voter outrage. They were still going to try ram
yep.
it through if he didn't get elected.
Right.
So it gave us a little bit of a reprieve, but you know, they say something like President Obama will wait till after State of the Union address before they you know, try and re-vote on this legislation, this Obamacare legislation, because he, you know, perhaps wants to appear that he's hearing our concerns, the, you know, more conservative Americans' concerns about, you know, less government and less taxes. But,
you know, I keep thinking of other things, you know, the idea that they, to cut costs again or to push a certain agenda, that they will be forcing women to take birth control.
Yes.
I mean, I could see that, you know, being
forcing women to take birth control. How about mandated home visits if you have a newborn? And how about their involvement in marriage counseling? Mandated, you know, government oversight of therapy.
And what does that have to do with health care?
Well, it has everything to do with control.
Yes.
And not a lot to do with health care.
Wow. You know, and again, I keep going back to the idea that, okay, there are, nothing's perfect, you know, mm-hmm. but when you think about it, the United States has the best healthcare system in the world.
People come here from all over
exactly.
to get surgery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why aren't we encouraging young people to become doctors and nurses? Why aren't we doing things that would encourage that type of activity, not delving into people's personal lives and
with this
and
overarching 2,000 nuclear option piece of legislation,
you know, little
2,
things.
2,000 pages.
They
folks.
Not once do they mention tort reform. You know how much money is involved in, you know, doctors having to pay for their
malpractice
insurance, and then all of the money that lawyers get for every little
thing.
Well,
they'll tell you that tort reform is meaningless and it's been proven not to work, but they're not willing to try that, but yet they're willing to impose all these new taxes on
us everybody.
And have direct access to our bank accounts and give unprecedented power to an unelected official. So, you know, it would make sense to start at a much smaller level to fix these problems that we currently have, but this plan is just
just leave everybody's health care as it is, except for people who don't have health insurance. Find a way to help those people get health insurance. That seems like a simple plan, you know.
Lowering taxes and stimulating jobs is a good way to start.
I know. Or, you know, just having, you know, like a pool, you know, because the reason why large companies can buy health insurance for their companies is because, or their employees, because they have so many people and the health insurance companies will, you know, cater to them. Well, if you have a pool where the uninsured can go to buy health insurance, and there's an incentive for a private insurance to go there, then, you know, you've got some people, you know, insured. Already they're saying that there's millions of people who won't be insured even under the Senate bill.
Isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? Because they told us this plan was passed, or, you know, was pushed as far as it got, because they were clamoring nationwide that we have to insure everybody. We have to make sure that they're going to, you know, be universal coverage, universal health care, universal coverage. And the greatest irony is that how many million? What was that number that you...
I think they had. Said
I don't know. It was a ridiculous.
Well,
they
throw it. They throw it out.
That
all
are
the
not going to have it.
I know.
They're not going to have it. Even if this goes through, they're not going to have it. So they're lying to
us.
Know.
And the big thing is that it's true. There's people who don't have health insurance, but there's nobody that doesn't have health care.
Right. There's a difference. Everybody that comes into a hospital is mandated to be treated.
Right. And one of the big problems as far as wasteful spending in the Medicare or Medicaid is that, especially Medicaid, it won't pay for a private doctor for somebody who goes, you know, have an ear infection. So people go to the emergency room to get treated for some minor thing. Rather than having clinics set up so that they can go there, which would be much cheaper on the government and much more convenient for the patients. So, and why aren't we encouraging more of these clinics to be open rather than, you know, just trying to take over the entire healthcare system?
People are so frustrated, and they harnessed into that frustration and tried to give them this, huge fix, because it's definitely going to be a change. It's going to be a big change and a big shocker change, but not for the better. But people hear the word change and they think that that automatically means that it's for the better. But when you start, you know, reading, we really have to be aware. And again, please contact your state representatives to Congress. I mean, you know, congressional
U.S.
officials.
Congressional.
And let them know if you feel strongly about this, that you don't want this, you know, monster legislation.
Or slow down.
Over 2,000 pages.
Yeah, slow down, you know, don't.
2,000 pages.
They couldn't possibly know everything in it.
No.
Or the, all the consequences of it.
And so, you know, any bit of legislation, it's not a great idea. But we probably don't have much time.
We have a couple minutes, and I know you wanted to mention something about what's going on in Connecticut.
Yes.
We need to contact our representatives in Connecticut as well, because there's a similar type of bill that was passed by the House and the Senate and vetoed by
REL. It was passed over our governor's veto.
Veto was overridden.
Yep.
And it's very similar.
It's called Sustinit, and it has a lot of the bad things that the federal legislation has. And very quickly, it's not going to mandate care. It says that it's you have options for enrollment, automatic enrollment, but it automatically enrolls you in five incidences. If you enroll a child in school, if you start or stop employment, if you file
taxes,
and I can't remember the rest. I don't know if I could find
But they're
it here.
Different. There are various ways that
and request unemployment coverage. Your children begin school, or if you seek health care, you're automatically enrolled. So good luck getting out of it. It has specifications for benefit levels, and specifications for benefit levels for plans means that the state's going to define your health care plan and has the ability to ration care.
Mm-hmm. And it charges you based on your income.
Right. And also, so basically it rewards people that are not employed. And people that are working hard, working families, are going to be penalized.
And they're going to get the same health care, but you're going to pay more for it.
Right. It, like the federal plan, it which gives care, which gives power to the Health and Human Services Secretary, it's controlled by appointed officials, not elected officials. Sustinit is governed by a specially appointed public-private board to represent Connecticut's residents.
So they make the policy with that. They're
so
not
you make
elected.
The policy, right. So if you don't like something, good luck changing it.
Okay.
Because you can't vote them out of office.
Thank you so much. This is such a compelling information. We really want you to contact your U.S. representative and tell them you do not want the Senator Reid bill passed in the House of Representatives. And we hope when you look in the mirror the next time you realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Please join us next time.